So tonight I thought I would reflect on what I'm calling a deep let go. And last week I had a series of unfortunate events, like the title of Lemony Snicket's Rye Twisted Stories. Along with knowing that there are horrors happening in the Ukraine, Ethiopia, Afghanistan, and elsewhere, I felt this like tightness in my core. It was like a fist was tightening, and it was tightening its grip, and I really sought some relief. So I randomly opened up a book, and I do this sometimes, like I'm searching for some solace. And I have some books that have some quotes, and often they really speak to me. And I came upon these words by Rajneesh. Don't try to force anything. Let life be a deep let go. And I thought, well, that sounds great, but how? How do I loosen this grip that's got a stranglehold on my gut? As I meditated on the gut grip, as I affectionately call it, I recognized the clenching as a form of clinging, the second noble truth in Buddhism and the cause of suffering. I was grasping at the way I wanted things to be, rather than being with the way things really were. And I wanted so desperately to be free of the pain. Like I imagined, couldn't I just transcend all of this mortal pain once and for all and become enlightened and free? And then I saw that this too was a form of clinging. I wanted to be wanting like to be free, just really wanting that, clinging to that, wanting to be once and for all, finally and fully free. As I stayed with the experience moment by moment, the tight grip in my gut began to loosen up. It didn't go away, but it sort of oscillated. And I realized it's not about letting go once and for all, as if there's some ultimate letting go that can release me from pain and suffering. It's about a deep letting go into what's now, moment by moment, breath by breath. It's not about being free forever. It's about being free now. And I wondered about this moment with all of its pain and suffering. And somewhere in the world, beings are suffering right now. And I was thinking, is it somehow selfish of me to want to be free while others suffer? Thich Nhat Hanh, the Vietnamese Zen monk, taught that to suffer is not enough. In order to be of benefit to others, we must also be in touch with the wonders of life. He said, life is filled with suffering, but it is also filled with many wonders, like the blue sky, the sunshine, the eyes of a baby. To suffer is not enough. We must also be in touch with the wonders of life. They are within us and all around us, everywhere, anytime. If we are not happy, if we are not peaceful, we cannot share peace and happiness with others, even those we love, those who live under the same roof. And he continued to say, if we are happy, if we are peaceful, we can smile and blossom like a flower, and everyone in our family, our entire society, will benefit from our peace. Deeply letting go into the present moment, moment by moment, is really the essence of meditation for me. So when I deeply let go into what's here right now, I connect deeply with the present moment. And invariably, that which I connect with, I care about. And you can think about this in your own lives for a moment, noticing, you know, when you feel connected, what other emotions arise around that feeling of connection? For me, when I feel connected, I feel like a lot of care. And of course, when somebody's suffering, I'm feeling connected and they're suffering, compassion arises. Meditation teacher Jeff Carrera encourages practicing not needing or wanting anything to be different than the way it is, because you care about reality. He encourages to connect with and care about the present moment, just the way things are. This has been kind of a profound point for me over the last few months. The idea that I'm not just seeing reality or trying to see, you know, trying to connect with what is. We're trying to notice. I'm not just trying to notice what is. I'm actually connecting with what is. And when there's connection, you might notice that there's care comes along with that. So with my stomach still in a knot, I took a meditative walk in the forest. And step by step, I connected with each moment as it was. I connected with a tight ball of pain in my gut, the feeling of the earth beneath my feet, the sounds of chirping juncos and finches, the heaviness in my heart for the suffering I know others are experiencing right in that moment. And in being with each step as it was, I felt connected and present for reality itself, just present. Not needing reality to be a certain way, not needing my practice to result in anything, not even needing or wanting peace. The beauty of each moment unfolded before me. As I was no longer caught up in my pain and wanting to transcend the pain. Open to what is moment by moment, I was also open to being surprised. With the next step, I was greeted by a spray of snow puddle sunshines. That's the name my husband calls these waxy yellow wildflowers that sprout up in the wet pockets of melting snow in the forest as spring comes around. And it occurred to me that a deep let go not only opens us up to wonder and surprise, but it also frees us of social constraints. When we're truly connecting with the moment as it is, opening to reality and being right here, right now, we're open to the truth of the moment. We don't know what this moment will look like, and we don't have a pre-planned response. And sometimes it feels like a free fall. Well, we start to drop some of our roles and expectations of those around us. And that might feel strange or even scary. Like, people expect certain things of me. But as I deeply let go into the present moment, my social face lets go too. And like I said at the beginning of the talk, I had a series of unfortunate events last week. As I was guided to deeply let go into each unfolding moment, I found myself responding to life in unexpected ways. And this included acting sharply when angered by a colleague. And people are used to me being fairly gentle and somewhat zen-like, but they saw a sharper side of me. As I was just letting go into each unfolding moment, I found myself acting silly at one point and like with childish abandon when reuniting with my oldest daughter after not seeing her for 5 months. She was expecting me to act very uptight as I was having trouble finding my way out of the airport. And I surprised her by just being lighthearted. She has a certain set of expectations of me, but I was in the moment not feeling not feeling uptight, just so happy, so overwhelmingly happy to see my daughter. In letting go of my usual cheery outlook, I'm being depressed and sometimes dysfunctional after the fiascos of the week. Just letting go into each moment. When we deeply let go, we respond authentically and spontaneously to each moment as it arises. We let go of the way we want things to be and are present for the way things are. Returning to Rajneesh's words, don't try to force anything. Let life be a deep let go. I'd like to reflect further on this first part. Don't try to force anything. Not trying to force anything is not the same as not doing anything. We may feel at a loss when horrible things happen in the world, wanting to help and not knowing how. Not forcing anything to me means allowing what feels meaningful to arise versus taking action because we think this is what we should do. Before I began planning out what I wanted to say today, I looked at my husband and I exclaimed, "I don't know how I'm going to fit everything I have to do into this day." And he replied, "Let the day come to you." Not forcing anything, not trying to make things happen or look a certain way, deeply letting go is ultimately an orientation to life. As I let the day come to me, the day flowed. Everything that needed to get done, got done. And some things that I imagined I needed to do, like respond to all of my emails, didn't get done. And that was okay too. I was having trouble collecting my ideas for this Dharma talk. I said to Elliot, "The talk is hanging over me. I want to make this talk more solid so that I can let go and enjoy the weekend." And then I laughed as the irony of what I had just said hit me. Here I was reflecting on not forcing anything and deeply letting go, and yet I was trying to control and organize everything so that I could let go. So the moral of that story is don't force anything, even letting go. And this brings me back to a point I made earlier. Letting go is a process you engage in, not an action you take. It's a moment-to-moment connection with reality, just as it is. It may not look the way you want it to. It's not always peace and bliss, but engaging with the process of letting go is one more way we can come into intimate relationship with the present moment. So as we prepare to meditate, I have a few questions that I invite you to consider, and I'll ask the question and then I'll pause to give you a little bit of time to reflect. So it's two questions. The first question is, what might your meditation look like if you don't force anything? And the second question is, what does a deep let go into the now look like in your practice?